You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast for Friday, April 29th, 2005. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more shows at techpodcast.com. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I don't know what it is tonight. I think I have a case of a foot and mouth. This is the third start to the show. I don't know what's going on here, but I got about a minute into the show each time, and I was just absolutely stumbling over myself, so I don't know how this one's going to go. We'll see, and we'll muddle through, but hopefully we'll get it done in this take. I have never actually had to start over this many times. Usually if I mess something up, I'll start over, within the first 30 seconds. I typically never like to start over because I like to go through in one shot. I have no idea what is going on with my head tonight. But anyway, welcome to the show, everyone, and we've got a great lineup for you tonight. And I know all of you that are Apple users, you're really excited because today is the day that Tiger is being released. And at 6 p.m., Apple is going to allow you guys to buy Tiger off the shelf. And I'm sure it's going to be a big event, big pull of crowd. I know there's going to be a lot of people at the Apple store, and they're going to be open until midnight. So if you Apple users have not already pre-ordered Tiger, you want to get down there to those of you that are near stores and enjoy the festivities. I may even go down and check it out. I don't know. We'll see what tomorrow brings. I've got a pretty full schedule. Hey, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And for our new listeners, make sure you get over to the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out the good articles and content that is on the site on a daily basis. And also make sure you visit the podcast archive where we have all our older shows. And we encourage you to sign up for our mailing list, and you'll find that link on the podcast archive site. Now, I know we've had like 25 to 30 people sign up for the mailing list each day this week. I've been real pleased with that. So the word is getting out. You guys are starting to add your names to the list. Now, it's been pretty quiet in the mailing list, which has been okay because my email box has been absolutely overflowing. And I swear, if I ever hit the lotto or do something and where I thousands or millions of dollars drop into my lap, I'm going to hire a personal assistant. Okay, hey, we've gotten a lot of submissions for the contest, and you guys are sending me some great content. I'm telling you, I am really impressed by the entries that are coming in. And a couple of people from overseas have actually said, hey, here's my info, but I don't think I qualify for the contest. If you have a mailing address, you qualify for the contest, okay? So we are going to, this isn't closed to just U.S. citizens. This is for everybody. So no matter where you're at, you can contribute. And how the contest works is basically I want you to write a one or two paragraph thought on what you think about podcasting and how it's changed the way you listen to media and anything that, anything that strikes your fancy about the podcasting genre. And you send that to geeknews@gmail.com. You don't have to write anything about Geek News Central. That is not the point of this. And we just want you guys to let us know what you really think about podcasting. And what I will do is all of the entries that come in, me and a mystery judge are going to be reading those here in about 10 days. And then we're going to be calling the winners. There's going to be three winners. There's going to be one from a non-podcaster, someone that wants to be a podcaster, and somebody that is a podcaster. So those are three categories of winners. We're going to call them and let them know that they're a winner, and we're going to tell them what they have won, and we're actually going to record the phone call. So those are going to be a lot of fun, and we'll release that information along with our big announcement on show 64. So it's going to be, you should start getting excited. We are 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from the big show. Yep, you're going to have to hold on just a little bit longer. I'm more excited, I think, than the rest of you are, because I've been wanting to talk for a long time, but I haven't been able to. Okay, Also, I've been working a lot behind the scenes on the podcastawards.com website. We've actually released our advertising rates for the site. And for those of you that have businesses that want to become involved, we have a limited number of spots. The spots are not necessarily inexpensive, but there's a reason for that. If you're a business owner, you're going to get a huge exposure, probably 100 to 150,000 hits a day for at least the 6 weeks that the contest is going on, starting on the 15th of June. And then throughout the whole year, your advertisement will be on that site. We've got a couple of premier, what we're going to call platinum advertiser spots. We have 3 gold spots left, and we have a number of minor advertising spots where it's all based on banner size. You're going to get so much website access that the platinum users are going to get a full page. The gold sponsors are going to get a quarter page on the site, so that you're going to be able to promote your product and your company. And that's going to be our thank you for helping us. And we're going to be able to get some great prizes, help offset some of the cost of our winners going to the Podcast Expo for the award ceremony. And we're also going to try to help out Podcast Expo, because they have really went out on a limb for us. But it's going to be great. We're going to have a great time at Podcast Expo during the award ceremony, meeting all those people. So if your company wants to be involved, we want you to send us an email at podcastawards@gmail.com. Okay, what else do I have on my little show note list here? Some of you have asked me to share a little history. Basically, I kind of give you a quick synopsis of my background. I've been involved in advanced technologies, primarily aviation, for the last 20 years. And I have done a variety of hobbies that's been based around using computers. Primarily, I started off running an old school bulletin board, probably 15 years ago or more. And that kind of evolved, and the internet took off, and the BBS scene died out. Of course, we had the Geek News Central's website's coming up on its 3-year anniversary, and I started podcasting, it was October 12th was our first show. And I actually did the first show in a hotel room in Texas. And just like a lot of the other podcasters, kind of caught the bug, you know, and we've been going strong ever since. But anyway, that's kind of my background. I don't talk about my regular J-O-B just because I don't want to cause a conflict of interest. So I know a lot of you have asked me for some more info, and it's kind of a topic that I don't broach very often. I did get a lot of listener-submitted email this go-around. And Casper, I want to thank you for your email that talks about the podcast itself. And also your experience using an application that you turned me on to that is used for remote logging into computers. You said that you had problems using the Windows remote control, and you've actually found another program. Now, what I'm going to do is put this up in the show notes, and you all that have to do work on family members' computers from time to time, this looks like a pretty nice little application to use to be able to control a family member's computer remotely when you need to make some changes. And he basically has been able to eradicate some Trojans on his brother's machine and some other things. But thanks for your email, Casper, and we'll get the link up to the actual application. Now, I was looking on the email, and I really don't see it's called Logmein, L-O-G-M-E-I-N, and I'm not really familiar with that one. So maybe I'll check the actual application out before we put it up. But thanks for that submission. Now, we got a email from a gentleman in Finland. His name is Markku, M-A-R-K-K-U, and he basically submitted a contest entry. And Markku, you are eligible. I'm going to put it in the pile. And he also made just an additional comment on the Macintosh OS X operating system. And basically, he's kind of talking about why, you know, that Macs are, the operating system's only available via computers you buy from Mac. And, you know, that's kind of been the way it's been there for a long, long time. Mac has controlled the production, and you can't buy a standard white box and load Mac on it, or the OS X on it, even though that is a basically a Linux or Unix type of kernel. So I feel for you. I know there's a lot of people that wish they could just buy the operating system and put it on their current system, but the chip architecture doesn't support it, and unfortunately, we'll just have to pay those high dollar prices for the actual Mac products themselves. Now, I gotta want to thank Mike for sending me a link to a site called newspotter.com. It is another RSS aggregator type of website, and it's actually enclosure capable, so he is able to actually download the shows from Geek News Central via this website. And so for those of you that are looking to check out another news media aggregator, you can go to newspotter.com. Now, I got an email from the staff of castregister.com. Talks about a new podcast site that's going to be launched on May 10th. But they are open to do like pre-registrations, and you can add your site. They say they're going to be the ultimate podcast search system. So we haven't been able to get over there and look at that yet, but some of you may want to, and I'll probably try to check that out tomorrow. And I tell you what, this podcasting genre has a lot of people turned on. I got an email from a 23-year-old. His name's Joe. Joe's out there working, delivering pizzas at night. He says, hey, sometimes I felt like listening to the radio. I just really was, besides doing my job, I was was unproductive time. And he's actually went out and bought an iPod. And I hope you're using one of those FM transmitters that you can put on top of the iPod there, Joe. But he's listening to podcasts while he's at work. So I think that's pretty cool. It gives you a little productive time. He's thinking about starting a podcast, and we hope you do. And when you do, get it up, Joe. Let us know. Now, for those of you that want to get in on some of the bargains going on tomorrow because of the Tiger OS X launch, Mac OS X Tiger launch, CompUSA is going to be having an in-store deal from 6 p.m. to midnight. So it looks to me like it's going to be primarily Mac products, obviously. But they are going to have some giveaways. So those of you that don't want to go to the Apple Store, but want to get out on some of the fun, CompUSA has something going on also. I want to talk about PDA phones that will never be the same because of the new mini pocket PC phone. It's known under codename HTC Magician. It is available now. You can buy it under such name as iMate Jam, the T-Mobile MDA Compact, XDA 2 Mini, Q-Tech S100, Orange M500, etc., etc. It's small, has a touchscreen, megapixel camera, and mini USB connector to connect to a computer and to charge a battery. Get latest information about this and other cell phones powered by Microsoft and latest news from the whole cell phone industry at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. Hey, I did get an email from a listener earlier this week. Actually, one of the guys over the creator of the Keener 13 podcast, and he turned his buddy on to one of the MS Mobile phones that we talked about in our advertisement, and his buddy got one. So I guess our word is getting out there, and it's some of you are actually going out and buying some of the products we're recommending. So we are actually encouraging, maybe encouraging other people too. So it's nice to see that we had an influence, and hopefully it's a positive one, and we look forward to getting some feedback on how the individual liked the cell phone. All right. Hey, wow. We're already 14 minutes in. Got a lot of information to go over tonight, as usual. Shoko's sitting in the office here with me tonight. She's surfing the internet. But I do want to talk about a couple of the tech podcast sites. Bradcast over at bradfordgibson.net has a two-part interview with Boris Mann and Roland Tongolo of Bright.com. Now, if you're not familiar with Bright, BRYGHT.com, Bright.com, it is a web service that enables individuals and businesses to simply build powerful, dynamic, hosted websites. Basically, you can do blogging, you can do photos. I have not seen this site prior to tonight, and I want to thank Brad for turning me on to it. But if you want to find out more about Bright, go ahead and go over to the Bradcast and check out the part one of the interview. And I'll have a link up to his site, of course, in the show notes. Now, Nick Bradbury over at FeedDemon put up an article today that talks about advertising in the RSS feeds. And you're going to start to see this more in people's RSS feeds. And as a matter of fact, they've just, ever since Google announced it earlier in the week, there's just been, I've started to see a lot of regular web blogging sites start to add advertisements to their RSS feeds. We're not going to do it. We really aren't. I don't think it's necessary at this point. But Nick was considering putting in some code in the application that would allow people to turn on basically a switch to strip the ads. But he has decided against that. And basically to kind of, you know, for the web bloggers that are really needed to make money via advertising links in their RSS feeds, he's going to allow those to stay in. Now, up to this point on Geek News Central, we have always allowed our full feed to be in our RSS. We basically, when you get our RSS feed, you get the full article. So you really never have to go to the website itself. You can get all the information that's coming down that we put up within the RSS feed. So a lot of the sites that were advertising driven, we're only putting partial feeds in. So what they're thinking at this point is that by putting RSS feeds in with their current RSS feed and opening it up so that you get the full article, it may encourage people to click, I guess, on the RSS advertisement in the feed. Now, I don't know if I would actually, you know, I think a lot of times I have a tendency on my mouse to actually use a trackball or the middle whiz wheel to just buzz by that stuff. I don't ever stop. And I do have a tendency once in a while when I'm actually on a website to take a look at the AdSense ads or an ad that's on the site and I periodically click on something that piques my interest. But I don't know if I'm going to do that when I'm in news reading mode and you know, trying to bust through, you know, 200 sites in an hour, if I'm actually going to take the time to click on an ad. It's going to be interesting to see how many, what kind of results that they're going to get out of this. So we'll kind of keep our ears peeled and see what people are saying over the next month. I know that our AdSense ads on our site has basically done very well. We're real happy with it. We're not going to put in the RSS feed. Just not going to do it. I found a article I really can't discuss on this show because it contains content that may not be suitable for minors. And I'm actually not going to even put it in the show notes. But if you guys get over to Evil Genius Chronicles, he has an article about DRM that kind of sums up some of the feelings I have sometimes about digital rights management. And I would encourage you to go over and check out this article. And it isn't really that strongly worded, and it's probably not that harsh for kids to see. But Evil Genius Chronicles, you'll see the DRM article. And go ahead and check that out over on his site, and I think you'll know how I kind of feel about music and all these restrictions that these music services are putting on the music that we buy and download. Okay, for those of you that are going to upgrade to Tiger tomorrow, I'm going to give you some steps that are actually on the Macworld website that you should follow before you back up. Okay, this is don't take the shrink wrap off it. Get home, and number one, back up your hard drive, okay? And I'll actually put this link up, obviously, in the show notes. And we want you guys to make sure that you do that so that your upgrade experience is an enjoyable one, so that you don't go straight stark raving mad tomorrow when something happens that shouldn't have. But number one, back up your hard drive. Number two, consider partitioning your drive. And they go into the reason about that. Number three, go ahead and then install Tiger. Number four, give Tiger a test run. Then, number five, give your applications a test run. Now, that's what I'm concerned about is some of the recording applications that we have. I don't know if they've been tested yet, but I guess we may load Tiger at some point here in the near future to just get an idea on how the integration is for podcasting. But Those are the six steps. So pretty simple, really. But the number one thing is make sure you back up your data. And this goes for anybody that's doing anything major on your computer. You know, you actually should not even store files on your computer without either CD backup or DVD. You know, hard drives are prone to failure. And for those of you that are sitting on or using computers that have not been backed up in a long time, you're setting yourselves up for failure, folks. There's no worse. I'll tell you a little story about happened to me. Well, when were we living in Maryland, honey? Was it about 8 or 9 years ago when we were living in Maryland? About 9 years ago, I guess. Anyway, I was I had a server in a ISP's building, and it was quite the bone of contention because that server wasn't cooperating very well, and it would crash a lot. I'd have to go down there and reboot it. And part of it was experience on my part, and I was running an operating system on there that should have never been running, doing a server function. But I came into, basically I woke up one morning and the server wasn't responding, and I said, oh, things crashed again. So I got in the car and I drove a couple miles down to where the ISP was, and I actually had a key to the building that we were in, and I went in, and actually the server was actually sitting in a closet. Quite literally in a closet, and I had a little skinny desk that would go in the closet, and I could get a chair in there, and it had a little thin window. Actually, it was the building was kind of strange. It was like this octagon shape, so I actually had a window in this little closet, believe it or not, that was about an inch wide that let in some light, and I had a lamp in there. But my wife always said, "You're going to the cave," because that's kind of what it was in the dark. It looked like I was in a cave. And I went in there, and what do I see on the main screen? I just see a blinking prompt. And make a long story short, that machine had been hacked, and someone had went in and formatted the hard drive. The backup that I had was on a tape, and that backup was about 6 months old. Now, I had spent a lot of time in that cave doing work on that server, working on the website, making improvements, and I lost 6 months worth of work. Now, I literally got sick to my stomach. There's no worse feeling in the world, folks, than having a hard drive go south and not having the data backed up. With the price of hard drives today, there's no excuse for you not to, you know, set aside some money and buy an external hard drive to back up your data, and don't leave that hard drive hooked up and running 24/7. Disconnect it and, you know, back up as you need to, but at least a monthly, no longer than a month, and hopefully no, actually, I do things here nightly and weekly to a number of machines, so that I'm kind of spread the damage control out amongst three machines, and then I actually have a external drive that is stored at another location that gets swapped out with the one here at home in case there's a fire. So I actually have my own kind of like, you know, offsite storage set up so that in case something traumatic happens that I'm able to, you know, my basically how much of your life is on your hard drive. So I know that I'm preaching the choir to a lot of you, but some of you may not be backing up as you should. So please do so. And save yourself that heart attack that could be waiting you around the corner from walking in and seeing smoke coming out of your PC or worse. Okay. I read an article today on Joy Ito's website that talks about Japanese punctuality. And for those of you that are not familiar with Joy, he is a venture capitalist in Japan, and he's actually the one that did some of the funding for Six Apart. He's also on the ICANN board, and he's quite the jet setter. He goes all over the place, but he kind of talks about the Japanese culture and meeting punctuality and the differences between meeting punctuality all throughout the world. You know, he talks about being in certain countries where it could start a couple hours late or where they notoriously run overtime, and his frustrations with that. So I thought it was a pretty cute article, and those of you that do travel quite a bit will get a laugh out of this. And some of you that don't may give you appreciation for just the differences in culture I know it's not really a techie article, but I always like what Joy puts up on his website. So the link will be up in the show notes. Okay, Apple's getting a taste of their own medicine. Apparently, Tiger Direct, who is a reseller of, or not a reseller, they are a commerce site that and a magazine that sells computer gear. They are suing Apple for trademark dispute. Basically, there's so many Tiger articles going up that their Google rank has dropped, and that it's costing them some money to their business. So, I don't know how much of a stand they have here against Apple, but anyway, this is going to be something that's going to be in the news here for the next week or so. So we'll see what happens and see if they get an injunction against Apple. Can you imagine them winning against Apple and Apple having to change the name of Tiger? I really just, I don't see that. Apple's, I think, a little bit bigger than Tiger Direct, and I'm sure their lawyers are probably paid a lot better too, but we'll see. All right, I don't think I talked about this earlier. I put an article up on my website earlier in the week that talked about the issues that we've been having with techpodcast.com trying to be listed on the iPod or org directory. It's not that our site isn't being listed. It's that we're trying to get our directory listed as a main directory. The Association of Music Podcasters have their directory basically on the main directory list on iPodder.org. Emails to Adam have went unanswered, and we've tried really hard to be nice. But if anyone has a connection or knows Adam and can intercede for us, we really would like to get the Tech Podcast OPML directory added to the iPodder.org directory. This directory is supposed to be open. We'd like to get our listing in there. So if anyone can help us out with that, please let us know. That being said, we've also tried to get our directory added to some of the Podcatcher clients like iPodder Lemon. I know we're probably never going to get into iPodder X. Some of the other Podcatcher client does have been, you know, basically saying, yeah, we're going to try to get you in there. It's a matter of code and being, you know, compliant with our standard. But if anyone else is out there that has got a Podcatcher client, we would definitely like to be included as one of your default feeds in there. Okay, on Boing Boing, apparently Dean Armstrong is taking his USB Geiger counter on him on civilian aircraft and measuring the radiation levels that he can detect at 12,000 feet. Can you imagine sitting next to this guy and having him running a Geiger counter off his laptop? Now, I don't know how accurate this thing is, but I think that would make me to raise my eyebrow a little bit. But I'd be real curious to see what kind of... He does have a graph that he's put up on the on his website that talks about the what he actually registered as he flew across the United States. So kind of a curious graph. Go ahead and take a look. And I'd be curious to know how accurate that Geiger counter is. Okay, congratulations to Doug Kay over at IT Conversations. They have registered their 10,000th registered user. Now, he knows that only a portion of the people that listen to the shows on IT Conversations actually register. And he figures right now that their listenership is approaching 100,000 monthly listeners. That is just simply amazing. Congratulations to him on that, and we wish him great success in his endeavors. Okay, I've got a digital camera, and I'm not real happy with it. And basically what it's doing, and it's, you know, it's typical for all, not all, but typical for some digital cameras, is that it has a real slow shutter reaction time. So I know some of you out there are hardcore digital camera buffs. I'm looking for a 5-megapixel digital camera that has good shutter reaction time. If you can make a recommendation to me, please do so. I was reading an article on Chris Prillo's site talking about the Nikon Coolpix 8800. So I'm looking for some more response on that particular model. But, you know, I had a Fuji that we accidentally dropped and broke the lens off of that was absolutely a wonderful camera that had fast shutter time. And I should have went and just bought another Fuji, but I didn't. So those of you that have a new 5-megapixel camera that has a great shutter speed, help the old geek out here because I don't know what to do. I've done a lot of reviews, and the one that we bought, we bought an Olympus, I thought was going to be perfect. All the reviews were good, you know, everything that we could find that was written up about it, nothing said about slow shutter speed. But this thing, I'm about ready to take it and smash it with a hammer. That's how frustrated I am with this camera. We've done everything. I've read the instruction book a dozen times, and it's still push the button, click. You know what I'm talking about. Is that frustrating or what? So those of you that have a good 5-megapixel camera that's not going to cost me to go out and take a personal loan to buy it, and something I can put or the wife can put in her purse, we'd appreciate some feedback. Thanks, folks. All right, there's a pretty cool video. Those of you that are Windows fans at WinHEC this year, the Senior Vice President of Windows Client, Will Poole, showed a new video for the Next Generation Window PC Design Competition. And it's kind of a good video. So those of you that want to see this this video on the future of Longhorn and what they're expecting to go into their PC design, go ahead and check out this article. Okay, how many of you have been to the mall recently and seen people have card tables set up or a little kiosk trying to sell a voice IP service? Apparently, there's a big thing going on now over throughout the United States where there is a multi-level marketing, and I'm not going to call it a scheme, but it's a business where people are selling voice IP services. Now, most of these voice IP people have been selling these type of services. When I went up and talked to them, have been by companies I've never heard of before. And it makes you kind of leery, you know, if you really want to buy a voice IP service from someone that you really don't know too much about. So I'm curious if any of you have signed up for any voice IP services from non-mainstream companies. You know, if I know Vonage is out there as a primary company and a couple of others. But if you've signed up for a voice IP service by one of these third-party resellers, let us know on how the service is, maybe a company name. I'd like to build up a little information on these voice IP services that are being sold by these guys and just get a feel for the pricing and the quality of the phone connections and, you know, what kind of telephone number choices you have, because apparently there's like 1,100 different voice IP providers worldwide, and I didn't even realize that there was that many. You know, I'd have thought maybe 100, but apparently there's 1,100 worldwide, so let us know if you're using a non-brand name voice IP service. Okay, those of you that have kids that are of the age where they're reading a lot about science and electricity, found a cool little site. It's a K-12 site and talks about, it's called the Physics Classroom. And it's a real, I was amazed at the level of information that's on here. Some nice little lessons about physics, electricity. And the K-12 sites have really, really went someplace. So if you've got a future geek in the house that likes to tear apart little motors and do those kind of put stuff in the electric socket that they probably shouldn't do to get stuff running on their little electricity kits, this might be a place to send them and direct some energy at. So we'll put the link up to the K-12 site that I found, and pretty impressed with this. Okay, those of you that have Windows XP Professional and would like to upgrade to the X64 edition that is out, Windows Microsoft is allowing a exchange program. So basically, it looks like you're going to be able to exchange for free, license for license, to actually go to the X64 edition. Now, there definitely are some requirements that you're going to have to look at via hardware-wise, but for those of you that are thinking about making the jump and don't want to buy another license, hey, this might be the way to go. So I'll put the link up to the Microsoft offer, and I think it might be well worth your time to take a look at that. Those of you that have been dialed into the podcasting scene are probably already aware of the radio station in California that is going to be a podcast-only station. It's an AM station, San Francisco 1550 KYCY. It's an Infinity Broadcasting station. They are going to allow podcasters to submit their podcasts for review and possible inclusion for play on the 24-hour station. It's going to be dedicated to nothing but podcasts. And those of you that are thinking about doing a podcast and want to do something with mainstream music, they're actually going to be handling the licensing fee so that you'll be won't have to be responsible for establishing the ASCAP, BMI licensing that would be needed to play that. But I may put together a little show and just as a short 10-minute Geek News Central podcast and submit to them and see what they think. If nothing else, it's worth a shot. And for those of you that are podcasters, it might be kind of a cool thing to do. They are not, shows will be streamed, but they're not going to be made available as podcasts. And the podcasters can still have their shows up on their sites. Matter of fact, if you produce a show and you send it up to them and they play it, you can still have your own show on your own site. And there's going to be no restrictions in you distributing your podcast. So kind of a cool little thing. Again, KYOU Radio, 1550 AM out of San Francisco. So I'll be for those of you that live in San Francisco, it would be nice if you guys could let us know what you think of this when it comes online on May 16th. Okay, I'm sure you've all heard about the A380 family of Airbuses that is this monstrosity of an aircraft. And the rollout happened, but I think this is just an amazing, amazing vehicle, and that's what it is. It's an aircraft, but it's a huge, huge transport aircraft, and the number of people it can carry and everything, and just the ultimate size is it's going to set the new standard in aviation. I'm pretty much an aviation buff, and I would just love to get inside this aircraft and crawl around and see how it's put together and the technology behind it. But I'm sure there's going to be something on A&E or Discovery or somebody's going to put together a documentary on this. But it'll be amazing when we get to see how this thing is put together. But just goes to show you these aircraft and this technology is getting bigger and bigger. All right, I think that's about it. I didn't have a lot of content tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. I'm still fighting my head cold, and I have been ordered by the wife. Actually, it's a chest cold or something's going on. I got upper bronchial or I don't know, but she says, you're going to the doctor. So I'm off to the doctor probably Monday to find out what is going on with me. I haven't been able to break this thing in like for like 3 weeks, so something is not right. Probably need some meds or something. But hopefully we'll get the old body back in shape with some modern medicines. But otherwise, we will be back with you on Tuesday. And as always, you can contact me via email at geek@geeknewscentral.com or Skype us at Geek News Central. Call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. We're looking forward to getting your contest entries. Make sure you get them in here in the next week. And as always, we're looking forward to making our huge announcement on show 64. And about a week from now, we're going to want those of you that have weblogs to probably start promoting our Show 64 rollout. It's going to be one that everyone in podcasting is going to want to listen to. All right, I got a special treat for you tonight. My wife has a family member who is a terrific ukulele player, and he plays with the brother of Jake Shimabukuro. His name is Bruce, and Bruce and Jody Kamisato, they travel into Japan and play in concerts and stuff, and I've got permission to play a couple of his little tunes, and I think you guys will enjoy these. These are some traditional, well, it's Hawaiian ukulele, so check this out, and you're only going to hear this here, all right? Nowhere else are you going to be able to hear this, so check it out. Thank you. And we get to listen to this during family get-togethers, Christmas, and any time that something's going on, we get to sit back and these guys play for us. So I think I'll play one more track for you. And if you guys like that, stick around. We'll play one more, and then we'll call it a wrap for the evening. And thank you for tuning in, folks. And maybe I'll play some more of the tracks we've got here next show. But let us know if you enjoyed that. A little Hawaiian local music for you. So see y'all on Tuesday. Bye-bye.